Enterprise Influencers, perspectives from technology leaders. Hello and welcome to Enterprise Influencers, the podcast that looks at the inner workings of organizations and the technology that helps them through it. Patrick, it's been a long time, really long time. I think it's been... no small part, it's my fault.
Nah.
What's going on?
I think there's a lot going on. Obviously, we've been on a little bit of a hiatus. I'm not sure that our multitude of listeners have noticed or not noticed.
That's not true. There have been people asking what's going on.
I've actually
one or two, and we appreciate it.
Asking as well, and absolutely appreciate all of our listeners. But yeah, I think people, we've been on a little bit of a hiatus. It's one of those things where sort of life gets in the way. I can see, Giles, for those joining us on video, like your background's changed a little bit. We're missing the Commodore 64.
Yeah, and the mess. Well, there's still mess. But
you're showing me the big moving van out in the driveway there. So I know you've been quite busy. You guys are moving.
Yep, Texas to Colorado is where we're going.
Yep. So that's an exciting move.
It is.
So yeah, for myself, it's been very busy. I've got a senior in high school this year. Lots of stuff going on at work. Like life gets very busy, and we've been probably a bit remiss. So that's why we're going to call this, we're in season two.
Look at that. Nice clean cut on season one.
So season one's a wrap, folks. We're done with that. And we're gonna call it fresh with season two here.
Make a nice concerted effort to be a bit more frequent than we were previously. Maybe get back to our maybe monthly cadence-ish.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've got some guests lined up. I think we've got some good topics for season two. Let's just talk a little bit about what's going on in the world, Giles. I don't know if you want to give us a little catch up on you and what's happening in your world, but I know for me, there's quite a bit, so I can do the same.
Yeah, obviously we used to work together, so I know probably roughly what you're about to say in terms of the forefront of technology, which is great. Since moving away from obviously working with you, Patrick, I've moved into the defense sector. We're a good 18 months, 2 years behind on the technology side of things. But you know what? My background
is... We're 20 years ahead.
It depends if you're trying to do mind control or just do some automation. Or if it's mind control, then we're far ahead.
Yeah.
Or blow something up. Yeah, absolutely. If you want to blow something up, we're done. And if you're not, then we'll get the typewriter out and off we go. But so big news in the defense space is that obviously we're very Microsoft focused at my company, and we're using GCC High. Copilot is now able to be used, or at least has been ratified to be used for the defense sector.
So joining the world in the AI revolution.
Indeed. So I'm in heavy research in that regard. Now, obviously, a lot of the previous episodes that we did and a lot of the stuff that I've done in the commercial space lends itself to this stuff. Obviously, we're trailing behind. Although you might argue, given that how quickly this industry is growing up, what might be 2 years behind right now will probably be like 2 months behind by the time.
Yeah, it's interesting, Josh, because like the product only went to general availability in November. So that's like only 4 or 5 months. That's like light speed, man.
We're not in GCC High yet. It's just been allowed to go in GCC High yet. It's still got to get there. They've got to build those services.
Still quite fast for government work. Yeah. It's government work.
It is. There's this type of documentation called CUI that we use. And I've been using Purview and other things to try and identify that it is, quote, this type of documentation and therefore needs to be locked under a certain compliance. And therefore, if it recognizes that it is, quote, CUI. Now, this is not AI right now, because obviously it's based on keywords and things like that. So standard kind of Purview information protection type stuff.
Yeah.
However, what I have seen in demos when they do like the defense kind of conferences and stuff like that is that sometimes those keywords aren't enough to be able to identify false positives, all this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it's AI is kind of being brought into the forefront to then understand the context of the documentation so that it can truly determine the categorization. And then obviously based on the controls we put in place, it's this type of CUI, shall we say, and therefore it needs encryption. But if it's this one, it's fine. You can download it and do what you want. So very exciting space when it comes to that kind of stuff. I get excited about compliance. What else can I say?
I was going to say, I'll take your word for that one. I'm not sure if too many people are going to tune in for the compliance episode. But
I keep suggesting it, and you quite rightly say that. But there's a reason why I went into the defense sector, and that is because of the economy is crazy at the moment, right?
So. I can't disagree with you there. I think that's something that's on a lot of people's mind for sure. We've seen it a lot of organizations, and you know, not to get into any specifics, but we've seen a lot of layoffs. We've seen a lot of people who are. And it's a weird economy. The organization I work in is professional services. Definitely, I think across the board in professional services is very much a down economic season. Like any kind of uncertainty in the economy generally means a downturn for professional services. So yeah, I think there's a lot of organizations that are trying to navigate that. Certainly trying to keep my head above water and trying to influence that enterprise like as much as possible so we can keep the paychecks coming in and keep living in the lap of luxury. But I think it is one of those things that's on the top of the mind for a lot of people, and also AI as well. Like AI has been a big part of what I've been up to recently. I won't claim to be an expert by any means, but it is very interesting. I've gotten to use some of the tools, gotten to have a lot of conversations with lawyers and risk management folks and people that are generally, I won't say scared, but cautious about what AI means to an organization. And so it is rather interesting. There's a lot, I think, to be said for right now. I think organizations are starting to prepare themselves for AI. They're starting to look at their data, and rightly so. What is AI going to do with my data, and how is this going to potentially surface things that maybe I don't want surfaced or might be used in a way that I don't intend it to be used? And there's a lot of those types of questions going around. And Microsoft, I think, is at the forefront of it, but they're by no means the only player in town, right? You've got Google and Facebook and all these other organizations that are launching stuff. And honestly, you've got a pretty rich open source community around AI as well. And I'm hoping we can maybe get into some of those topics in some later episodes. Definitely got some contacts that are doing a lot of stuff in that space. And there's some pretty interesting things going along. I'm, like I said, I'm by no means an expert. I play one on the podcast, so doesn't mean we can't talk about it, right?
No, absolutely. And what I will say is I think it's quite pertinent because it is clear that Microsoft has listened to people's concerns about this kind of stuff. They really came out of the gate with, you know, trust us, it'll be fine. And then they provided some information, but it's now starting to do what Microsoft does a lot of the time, where they try and get it into the public consciousness, right? So if you're on YouTube, you're seeing the Copilot episode, hey, make my family look like I come from Pixar, whatever, right? So it's on every Bing search that you do.
Absolutely.
Point of annoyance, I might argue. I might click on a link and it's then trying to answer me something without taking me to the website.
I've noticed more and more of that as I go about my day. If anybody watched the Super Bowl, there was a Copilot Super Bowl ad, which is, I think, was one of the first Microsoft Super Bowl ads in a really long time.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's like Windows 3 or something, maybe back in, or Windows 95. I don't know.
Windows 95, fine but, face, stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's been useful. I think I was telling you before we started the recording, like it's brought my meme game to an all new level. Like I'm able to generate memes like on the spot. So we're really using it, all this computing power.
To the benefit of society.
It's really
you're adding to the internet. Yeah, that's right.
It's for humanity, Giles, honestly.
Aren't memes, if you know a teenager anywhere, godson, he almost spoke to me in memes almost every cut sentence.
Honestly, so it is.
And it's helping me relate to the younger generation.
Actually, my wife and I have stopped communicating in words, and we just send memes back and forth to each other. So
excellent.
Yeah.
So it's also saving you from divorce?
Absolutely. I think one thing that I've noticed just in the AI space, too, is we're talking about Microsoft, and we're focused on the enterprise, but there is quite a differential between there's like enterprise services and there's consumer services. And some of the things we're talking about, like the Bing searches and the even like the newly released Copilot app, those are all consumer services.
Yep.
They have like incredible capabilities. Like I'm trying to think of an example of what I've done, but I've asked it some fairly complex things, and it's been able to give me, you know, really good summaries and advice and even instructions in some cases. In the enterprise world, there's a lot of that similar kind of stuff going on as well. One of the things that I think Microsoft has gotten very right in this is tying the enterprise features to the enterprise security of the content of organizations. And that's why, like talking about government cloud and defense industry, like it is going to be accepted in those areas. But
absolutely,
one of the things I see just generally is that the branding has been absolutely horrible in terms of distinguishing between those enterprise and consumer products. And that's one of the probably Microsoft has never been great at branding, but they call everything Copilot. And so it's, come on.
Is that not slightly on purpose though, right? If I could probably tell my wife about Copilot, and she is not in the IT space in any way or form, and she would probably know what I'm talking about. So is
probably
that slightly on purpose?
I know, but yeah. So fair enough, but I think
it doesn't make it any less confusing.
It doesn't make it any less confusing. Yeah,
that's right.
That's my point. So that's some of the fun stuff I've been dealing with. It's a whole new world. Honestly, we did our first episodes about AI, seems like almost a year ago. And I don't think it was a year ago.
Maybe but, 6 months ago, yeah.
But it's everywhere and in everything. And it seems like every product in the enterprise that you look at, whether it's Microsoft Technologies or ServiceNow or Salesforce or Dynamics, even GitHub, like there's an AI component in just about everything. Right. You can't get away from it. I, for one, welcome our robot overlords, but I'm sure others fear like what that's going to mean for their career, for their livelihood, especially in a down economy. Are there opportunities to displace us mere humans? It's something that's on people's mind.
Do you know what? Like, being several decades into this industry and having gone through those trends several times, my advice to our listeners would be lean in.
That's a good.
If you're on the technology and you know about it, then you can become that consultant / advisor / implementer, not absolutely the one that you're replacing.
Speaking of memes, I've seen a few memes, and one of them said something along the lines of, it was joking about how quickly us technology, quote, experts also then become experts on AI.
Yeah, we're all experts. We know exactly what we're talking about.
So fake it till you make it, folks. That's what you got to do.
Right.
Fake it
That's
till
right.
you make it.
That's the consultancy way.
But I guess I have to agree with you, though, because ignoring it, putting your head in the sand, right? Like, you will be one of those humans that's replaced by AI. I think jumping on board, being an advocate, being someone who endeavors to understand and learn and look at ways that you can use the technology to better your performance, your day-to-day work, your organization, your team, just in the, even in those small things, like it can make a big difference. And I don't think those people will be replaced by technology.
And it's vast, isn't it? The whole concept of AI is vast, right? You were talking earlier about it's like there's the legal people that are interested about how much of a problem it's going to be, right? There's the compliance people that I care about, right? Then there's the technologists more like ourselves that want to get in front of it and work out what to do with it to make it more efficient. There's so many angles that you could insert yourself into that part of, and it's not really an industry. It's yeah. like consciousness that affects most of the industries.
So right. I'm curious, Giles, and I'll probably put you on the spot here, but
sure.
What are one or two things that you're using AI for, like maybe not in your day-to-day life, but what are some interesting use cases that you've seen
sure.
recently?
Other than memes, so I can communicate with my wife.
Those are the most important use case, but yes, other than memes.
So my wife has a very interesting use case that is actually in full effect. I think most people who have listened to the podcast at all know that I'm somewhat into video games in some way or form.
Yes, Giles, we know about your video game. We know it's
It went out on Amazon last Friday. But anyway, one of the many reasons why I've been busy. Yeah, buy it. But anyway,
go buy Giles's video game, please.
So that company who published it is a company called Evercade. They actually got in trouble from a previous cartridge they made because they used AI to generate the artwork. Mm. And it took things from various copyrighted places and they had to apologize and blah, blah, blah. Now, of course, we're talking about retro games that affected 10 people, not 12. Right. But the other thing would be is that me and my wife, we've invested in a video games company a couple of years ago, and they've got this really cool, unique idea, which I'm not going to go into because don't you dare steal it, audience. But one of the companies that came to them to help them get their concept together is that they're trying to get a Kickstarter together, like a lot of the indie publishers do and developers do. But they said, we could generate the framework for your game through AI. Tell us what type of game you're trying to do. Tell us the scenarios, whatever the system is, right? Because at the end of the day, and one of the reasons probably why AI is so prevalent at the moment is that we're not necessarily, it's not revolution anymore, right? It's evolution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we've managed to, this is a company of three or four people who have good backgrounds in video games. When it eventually gets launched, and of course I'll probably use this platform to say talk about it at the time, they've got a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of things going on behind them, right? They work for large companies and things like that. So now they're bringing it to their own ideas, their own thoughts and processes, and they've used this company to generate essentially their demo that they're going to launch on Kickstarter. But what that has allowed them to do is, rather than go and try and find developers to generate this stuff, right? And of course, they're using kind of standard engines like Unreal or whatever, right?
Sure.
But it allows them to concentrate on their unique selling point, the artwork, the story, the creativity part to it. They're spending more time, and they're actually changed who they're hiring because of it, because they've got the framework. So now they can spend more time and mental capital on making themselves unique. Now, will this work for us? Who knows? But that's cool, right?
It's incredibly cool. Like you're taking what may have taken months worth of effort and boiling it down into something that maybe happens pretty quickly. You still have to have a human involved, right? You still have experts yeah. in the field that are looking at this and saying, yes, this is good or it's not good, but it's shortening that time frame. It's getting to a faster MVP type of thing, right? Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, and it allows us to hire different people so that we can be more unique, and it allows us to get to market quicker. What was looking like would be several years is now going to be probably maybe slightly just double-digit months, years to months.
That's AI. Crazy.
That's awesome. And honestly, I've seen, like, even the thing that I developed and had sold it and all that kind of stuff, I've now seen my peers in that community are using AI to create Game Boy games. Really popular. Everyone wants a Game Boy game. But they're using AI to do it instead now, which I spent years developing my thing, like as a sidetrack to working to buy Pixel and all that. Exactly. And then some upstart teenagers coming along and going, hey, Copilot, make me a game like this, but make it better. Boom.
Exactly. There you go. Wow.
Do you know what? That's cool. I'm totally going to do the same thing for it.
I can tell you're incredibly jealous.
Clearly, I don't make my living making a video game. It's all for fun. So I just think it's cool, to be honest. Yeah. I'm a big technologist person, and I think it's really cool to see the advancement and of technology and how it's benefiting things. But again, that's why I say lean in, because if you don't lean in, someone will overtake you. Yeah,
absolutely. That's right. Yeah, if you're still going pixel by pixel, the kid with the Copilot AI game builder module is going to pass you up very quickly. That's a really cool use case. I don't have anything quite that cool, but I have used AI. I've done a few things that were very kind of meta. I'll give you one example. We were met not in a meta Facebook, but it just in the, okay, that was messed up. We have to do these wonderful things called privacy impact assessments. And this is legal compliance. Hey, we need to understand a new technology, how it's used, how data is processed, where data is processed, where it might conflict with various laws around the world, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a tedious, fun-filled 101,000 questions that you fill out full of wonderful things. And then when you fill it out, it goes off to a bunch of lawyers and they argue about it and they come back to you and ask you wonderful questions. And it's just lots of fun. It's the initials of it, privacy impact assessment, PIA, are very representative of what it is, which is a pain in the you know what. Anyway, so I was responsible for doing a PIA for one of our AI technologies, and it was asking me a bunch of questions that I didn't know the answer to. So
did you ask AI?
I asked AI. Sweet. And I said, so I just asked AI and I said, hey, gave it the context of you're filling out a privacy impact assessment. You're thinking like a security, information security expert. And I asked it a bunch of questions and it gave me surprisingly or unsurprisingly, extremely well thought out and articulate answers. And Giles, I just used them.
You still now, needed I, the human I, to copy and I, paste. I'm just
I
saying.
I did validate that the answers were correct and that they were coming from legitimate sources and that they were using the proper backing foundational information. But yeah, a very meta exercise, right? Like I used the AI to fill out the privacy impact assessment for the AI.
Do you know what? A much more mundane use of AI that I did last week. So I do a lot of PowerShell now and again just to get stuff out, mainly in a test environment because no one would ever let me touch a production environment. But I do a lot of work in GCC High and I had not done a lot of stuff in GCC High when it came to PowerShell. And I asked Bing, why the hell can't I get it to connect to SharePoint? And it put in GCC High and it told me about this one little parameter that says dash region ITAR. And I'm like, oh,
it solved your problems for you.
Yes. I
didn't know about that. Yeah.
And then my security team said, you shouldn't be able to do that from your laptop. And they closed me off anyway. But
that's not the point. That's beside the point, Giles.
That's beside the point. It worked. It worked. And honestly, like I'd look through documentation and this is like one little parameter in streams or pages of documentation that I totally missed. And I went, okay, all right, Bing.
I will say one
of
the
other. There it was, straight away.
Yeah, there you go. I'll say one of the other cool things that we've been experimenting with is GitHub Copilot.
Oh, yeah, we started doing that too. Mm-hmm.
So I've got a crew of a small crew of developers on my team. They're all using GitHub Copilot right now. It's amazing how from anything from documenting code to refactoring code to creating new kind of bespoke functions and code pieces, like it has been a real productivity booster. We're seeing a lot of benefit from it. So I'm not using it personally because I'm not allowed to write code anymore. There was a time in my life where I could do that, but they don't let me near that keyboard anymore. But for our team that is doing it, like it's been pretty impactful. And I don't know what the percentages are in terms of like how much code we're generating from AI versus like writing from by hand, but I think it's a pretty significant amount, maybe as much as 50%, which is pretty amazing.
Oh yeah. Like I say, we're using GitHub and we use it to check our code against security flaws and all this kind of stuff. And
yep.
Now you're starting to see Copilot come in and make suggestions on how you should code something. And it's a lot more intelligent than it used to be. It used to be just snippets, right? And now it's starting to understand the context of your code.
When I used it, it started asking, it said stuff like, are you sure that you should really be doing this? Don't you have a PowerPoint to create or something? Like that, I was a little insulted.
We've seen how you live your life, Patrick.
Well, it really shows how AI has, honestly, it really does. Yeah. It shows the advancement in AI. But hey, Giles, it's been really good to catch up. I'm glad we're getting the podcast back on track for season two of Enterprise Influencers. I think we got some great things to talk about. We're going to be more diligent about getting episodes out on a moderately regular basis. That being said, I know you do have some upcoming big moves and things going on.
If I do,
episode two of season two is a little bit late, I'm sure people will understand.
Yeah, I'm over the hump. I've got a U-Haul van out there. You may have seen me looking out the window just now. It's because some teenagers were coming up to the U-Haul van because we're blocking off the pavement right now, or sidewalk for those in the US. And they decided to roll under the van.
Huh. I mean, that's what I would have done.
Which is why I was distracted for just a moment. I listened to everything that you're saying. I was just like, okay. But anyways, so I'm moving. I officially finished my move in June 12th, in fact. But 80% of my stuff is going this weekend. And then I'm trying to sell this current house. If you're looking to buy a house in Round Rock, Texas, let me know.
Or a Game Boy game.
Or if you need a Game Boy game,
yep.
Then go to Copilot and make yourself one.
There you go.
Perfect. I should be way more available than I was before. Because the other part of it, of course, is that in my world of defense, I've been launching a product and that is now launched and is now gaining traction, which is great. Because if it's gaining traction, it means we've done something right. That's the other part that's been happening all at the same time.
Yep. Like we said, life gets in the way.
Life gets in the way. And there's children and all this kind of other stuff too. So it's just, but yes, I am.
If we need to start like a Patreon or people want to just donate us loads of money, so we can pump out an episode every day if that were the case, right?
Like, money does talk, although we should probably get some consistency in place first.
Okay. We'll work on that, my friend. Hey, looking forward to this season and the next episodes and catching up with you some more. Do you remember how to take us out, Giles?
You know what? I don't. But maybe we should just do something new for season two. I'm going to make it up on the fly.
Oh, we didn't do any jokes or any fun facts or... All right.
Does the U-Haul teenager thing not count?
It counts. Yeah. It counts. We'll make something up. We'll make something new up for... You can tell that this has been a meticulously prepared episode of Enterprise Influence.
We followed the agenda to the letter.
Yes, indeed.
There was no agenda. Okay, yeah. So normally we would thank our guests and tell them how to reach them and all that kind of stuff. So you can reach us then on LinkedIn. And if you want to be a guest on this podcast or whatever, then obviously reach out. We are very happy to have the conversation with you. You can find us on LinkedIn. If you find this podcast, you probably know where we are on LinkedIn.
Subscribe, like us, yes. Do all the things.
All the other things like that.
Yep.
And yeah, this will be out shortly. I'll turn it around quick. And it's been great to catch up, Patrick. Thank you very much.
Peace out, everyone. Enterprise influencers.
Bye. Yeah, bye.